Dear ones, you who have been bought at a price, the very blood of the Lamb who is Jesus, you are called again this day to hear a divine call to attentiveness to the Word. This begins, as you hear it now, to reveal to you again how the Spirit wills to lead you into holy living. My son, to my words be attentive. To my sayings cause to incline your ear. Do not let them escape from your eyes. Keep them in your heart. Thus far our text. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We, as you may recall, are in the time of year for hearing calls to growth in the Word and into holy living. This sub-season was faithfully assembled long ago in order to focus the hearers of God's Word on the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification, that true holy living the Holy Spirit continues to cause to well up in you, whom God continues to beautifully and mercifully cleanse from sin by God's Word as you remain in it. This God work most clearly takes place in and through the places where God gathers his people in order that they might receive his blood-bought gifts. Those to all who believe, bring divine forgiveness, beautiful life under the cross, salvation from sin, death, and hell, as well as rescue from the wrath of God. Here is where the encouragement to godly living proclaimed from these words for today can truly be done by you who are the faithful. In the way of wisdom, I have shown you. I have caused to lead you in paths of uprightness. You, the faithful, can be assured that God delivers the word sin-washing work in congregations where God's word is purely preached and his sacraments are rightly administered. Some outward indications of where those places might be found around the world may be beheld by people who bear his name, being gathered together, occupied in prayer and worship, and from that, among themselves, are seen to continually bear the fruits of the faith. Those are exhibited as God's people continue to practice sacrificial love for one another, as they suffer together for doing right before God, even as they continue to bear witness to him, as they devote themselves to the apostolic preaching of the word, whenever they hold right fellowship, as they participate in the communion of the holy ones in the holy things, and as they pray for and bless, rather than curse, those who persecute them. Such divine gifts and earthly places may be seen as existing where those whom God declares right with himself, that is, the justified, are gathered. Those, you who are declared right with God, are those who yearn in the Spirit to continue to hear of God's divine grace, mercy, and sanctification. They can be found here and in congregations like this one, in faithful congregations in Kenya, as many of us heard about last week, as well as places where God's people are experiencing intense persecution on account of holding on to the good confession of the faith. We need not travel far from the brightness of the gospel that continues to be declared on this particular hill to find those who would be faithful, who yearn to be faithful, who hunger to be found faithful, striving to hear God's word rightly divided. This will be true even as they gather in places where the spirit of fallen man and other spirits fight against them to dim the word through moving people into holding on to human traditions, or reason, or even contemporary church marketing methodologies that are placed over the clear word of God and the good doctrines it produces. The hungering faithful, who may gather apart from faithful congregations like this one, can exist for a time, for God knows how long, in churches that actually reject the clear word of God's truths and confessions. This would include those found in congregations that confuse the divine truth by mingling it with the doctrines of people. They are Christians under forms of persecution that are much more insidious and subtle than those suffering under overt harassment and torment on account of the good confession of the faith, as we heard about some of us last week, is occurring in Somalia. In addition to those who hunger for the pure truth and erring confessions of the faith, there are visibly persecuted faithful who may be found living under the dark shadows of predominating false religions in their own lands. For centuries, that darkness of these false religions has appeared to grow, but it has not, nor can it ever, fully overcome the light that shines forth from God's pure word and rightly administered sacraments. That is one reason why faithful congregations and the pastors that serve Christ to them take time to teach, inquire, and instruct all who would partake of the sacraments at a given place. It is not enough to maintain that the sacrament of the altar in particular is for Christians. We would ask, well, what does that mean? The scriptures, and from them, the confessions clearly teach that the Lord's Supper unites the united and divides the divided. For this reason, we in love for our neighbors, and many of you have had me come up and speak to you as you visited, asking where you're from, who's your pastor, what's your congregation. We in love for our neighbors ask all who would partake of God's gifts from a truly Lutheran altar like this to confess at very least the basic tenets of the faith. These include the biblically right and defensible teachings concerning the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Confession and Absolution, Holy Baptism, and the Sacrament of the Altar. Those reveal basic Christian doctrines. They are what our adult instruction and refreshment class students learn each time. We have another iteration of that, and it's usually at least one a year, as God keeps bringing people here wanting to learn of the good confession of the faith. These six chief parts are what our confirmation students learn before they partake of the sacrament of the altar. They're not learning it to graduate, they're learning it to confess right so that they may yearn to learn more of what we teach and confess throughout their lives. If you believe otherwise, that we don't need to take care like this for people, turn from your false belief. Receive God's forgiveness. Learn afresh the beautiful doctrines of Scripture. In them, conduct your life anew under the right, good, and salutary confession of the faith. After all, let's face it, if you're going to suffer for the faith, either overtly or covertly, should that suffering not be for holding fast to the truth that others might behold your witness, hear the gospel, and be saved also? And there's no point in coming and not confessing. It is to baptize believers in any and all situations in which the church may find herself that faithful pastor teachers strive to continue to rightly divide the word of God. They do so first that their hearers would rightly confess the Lord's biblically revealed truths. They do so also to clearly show the ways that the scriptures declare. They do so to point out the paths that either lead to darkness or to light. That means that we in part, declare the bad news of the law as if there were no acquitting, atoning, and enlivening gospel. We call to repentance all who would reject God's word on any topic because, in effect, all such rejections of God's word, no matter how small, are violations of the first commandment. The true Christian doesn't get to change God's word to make himself or herself or others happy. Those, you, who do such stand fully under the law's condemnation. For you who by God's law are convicted of your sins then, those same faithful and merciful pastor teachers continue to proclaim the good news of God. This means that to you, the repentant faithful in Christ, God's gospel is to be proclaimed as if there is no convicting, killing, and condemning law. Christ died for you. He bore your sins into death and the grave. He rose from the dead to declare you right with God. He gives you his Spirit who moves you to conduct your lives under his grace and to continue in the good confession of the faith. Such godly division of the inspired word, whether it is as clear as those statements that I just made or more subtle, because we have pastors that are members of this congregation who have been pastors longer than I, though they're retired, and they are pretty good at finessing the law and the gospel so that you go, oh, he was talking about him, and he was talking about, oh, no, he's talking about me. Okay? I'm not quite there yet, but give me another 20 years. I'll be in the grave. To the repentant and faithful in Christ, these men, faithful men, rightly divide the word of God. They do so to exercise the divine means that empowers the light of the gospel to rise up and shine on the hearts of the hearers. We pray that such continues to happen as it predominates in their preaching and teaching. All of this is done to reinforce the biblically revealed truth that to be aided in one's attentiveness to the Word of God, to be divinely empowered to incline one's ear to its wisdom, to walk in holy living, one needs to continue to assemble with the faithful in order to hear the Word of God rightly divided. All of that and more comes from the Proverbs call. My son, to my words be attentive, to my sayings cause to incline your ear. Do not let them escape from your eyes, keep them in your heart. That teaching reintroduces us to the word for today that is given to lead us into a proper distinction between law and gospel that may be most clearly heard this weekend flowing throughout the readings on the 14th Sunday after the Feast of the Holy Trinity. From Jesus' words of law for those nine who didn't return to him, and he was pretty subtle in that, where are the nine? As well as his word of grace for the one who did, and this one's a Samaritan, the word reveals God's showing us how to rightly divide his word. As we have not set aside time this day to hear from all the readings of the day, we'll pick up more on Wednesday. Let it suffice to hear law and gospel sound forth from the words of the Proverbs. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and there will be for you many years of life. The path of righteous men shines as a light of brightness, shining brighter into full day. The way of wicked men is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. From the divine call to be attentive to the sayings of Scripture, for that is what the words of the Proverbs are, comes a promise of much life conducted under the favor of the divine. The words hear and receive are commands. They are law. Third use, I would argue, but they are law. They tell their hearers what to do. From that call, then, the faithful Son of God, that is any man, woman, or child, who will be heir to the eternal kingdom, hears of two roads, just two. The first path leads to good news. Those who are declared right with God, the righteous who cling to his promises in the faith, will follow the one that is illumined with the light of life. That path leads to the unending light that is God's. After all, nothing preserves soul and body in a healthier state than when we always keep before our eyes and carry in our hearts the good doctrines. On the other hand, the second path, revealed through the Proverbs, leads to bad news. Those who reject God's objective justification of all the descendants of Adam, that is to say, those who despise the declaration that in Christ all sin is covered over, are to hear law. The same goes for those who reject the truth that Christ died for them. Those who reject the word that declares Christ, and therefore Christ Jesus himself, are revealed to have chosen for themselves the way that leads to an eternity apart from the light of life. That path leads to unending darkness and separation from the loving God. Those contrasts are made clear by the divinely inspired human author of the writings of the biblical book of Proverbs through his use of very humanly understandable imagery. In our area here, that can be particularly clear. Under the dark skies, as we've had the last few nights, we can see with our own eyes what it means to follow either a path of light or a way of darkness. Here, especially after the classes that were held this past Thursday and Friday nights, away from the city lights that are in the valley below us, and apart from any neighborhoods that surround us, it was very dark. Unless one knows the way by heart, for example, from here to my house, following the rabbit trail, because that's all it is, will, without either excellent night vision or light shining on the trail, either wander into the weeds on this side, the mesquite tree on that side, or get caught by the cat claw turning the corner onto the road. It happens. The darkened path hides danger on all its sides. Yet the lighted path reveals the safe way. In the spiritual paths we walk in this life, there is either light or darkness. The darkness presses in when temptation to doubt God's word comes upon us. The light shoves it back when the word we receive from that word, God's power to resist temptation. Or if we're convicted of falling into temptation, the word forgiveness restores the light to us. That is true for us rightly believing and confessing Christians because Christ, the descendant through the human line of King Solomon, heard and perfectly kept all the words of this day's Proverbs. Jesus so held fast to the entire word of God so that his keeping it could be imputed, that is, declared upon those who would hear and believe it. Jesus, hearing the words of the ancient testimony of Solomon, the son of David, completely and firmly held on to the way of light. He did so as he fell into the darkness of death. He carried the light of life in himself down into the grave. He caused it to be shown forth in the place of the dead. He carried it from death into life. He, with the Father, poured out upon his first repentant and forgiven followers and showed up as tongues of fire. He who worked perfectly in the paths of uprightness wills to keep you on that path as you remain in him in the good confession of the faith. From Christ's ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit, life's light has continued to shine upon those who hear the rightly divided word of God. It will continue to do so until the lights of this old, fallen, corrupted creation are wiped out in a rush of cleansing fire. Then God's people will be raised to blessed eternal life in resurrected and perfect bodies to receive the illumination that is eternal and in it the complete fulfillment of this divine promise. For life are my words and sayings to those finding them, and healing to all their flesh. In all of them, in vigilance, keep your heart. For from these things are the sources of life. Life and healing are in the rightly divided word of God, and they are here now, and they will remain into eternity. In the words of law and gospel, you are free to keep all that is substantial in you. That is, you are liberated in Christ to hold fast your intellect and your entire moral self to God's word. In this, you will continue to walk in and return to, should you stumble in the darkness, the way of light. On that path, you continue to receive true wisdom, God's wisdom. His word continues to lead you into the path of uprightness, into the life of holy living, for in God's word and sacraments, the life of Christ is lived in and through you. Please stand as you're able. The peace which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.